the Common Geeking Program, a book club podcast where each week, three of us read up on a topic and then discuss it from different geeky, nerdy perspectives. This week is a little different, though, as all three of us will be talking about aspects of the Star Wars franchise. That's right, it's another franchise special. I assume Colin or Jeff will put in some kind of music there. Anyway, let's keep going. My name's Edward Ryan. I'll be your host, and today we're going to be discussing Star Wars. I'm joined today by
Keaton Kodish. Hey guys, what's up? I'll be talking about Star Wars stuff.
And
my name is Patrick Bren. Can you let me introduce myself, motherfucker? What's up?
Sure.
My name is Patrick Bren.
Go ahead,
I'm going to be representing. I fucking hate you, Keenan. Shut the fuck up.
Gotcha, Pat Bren.
Anyway, as I've said like three times now, my name is Patrick Brown, and I'm representing Rogue One and the new Star Wars movies, even though some of them aren't really like new in the actual timeline. So, yeah.
So hello, listeners, Edward Ryan, your host. I'm going to be talking about the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy of Star Wars films. So episodes 1 through 6. And then my guests here will be talking about some different things. Keenan, what are you talking about in the Star Wars franchise?
I'll be talking about the Star Wars comics published by Marvel. And then I will also like to talk a little bit about the Star Wars The Clone Wars. Not to be confused with Star Wars Clone Wars. There's a The guy.
Okay, and Pat, you already said when you introduced yourself, but why don't you do it again for us real quick? What are you talking about, homie?
I'm talking about the new, not trilogy, I guess, because I'm also including Rogue One, but the newer movies that have come out recently.
All right, we got comics, we got old Star Wars, we got new Star Wars. I'm really excited, boys. Let's start off by summarizing all our topics, and then we'll get into the discussion. Music cue. That was really good, Pat.
It was.
All right, let's get started. I guess I'll go first, and I'm going to give a real quick overview of Star Wars as a whole, and then I'll talk about the films I'm bringing to the table today. So Star Wars is a franchise set a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. About a whole bunch of different stuff. A lot of it focuses on a family called the Skywalkers. You know, in this universe, there's spaceships and they fly around, there's space battles, there's laser weapons, there's magic space wizards called Jedi and Sith. They use something called the Force to move objects and all kinds of cool stuff. We'll get into some of that probably. And there's this cool weapon called a lightsaber. It's a laser sword. All right, that's Star Wars. So,
what about the midichlorians?
I've been wondering, what are midichlorians?
Yes, and midichlorians are what gives you access to the Force. Okay.
That sounds like someone who's never watched Star Wars explaining Star Wars. There are some guys, and there's this one cool thing.
He's outed me. I've never seen Star Wars. This episode's over. Okay, so, hey everybody, Edward Ryan, your host. I am going to be talking about the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy, so episodes 1 through 6. It's a lot to cover, so I'm not going to cover all of it. I'm going to give you, you know, an overview, and then I'm going to talk about why I like these things, mostly the original trilogy. Anyway, so the original trilogy is episodes 4, 5, and 6. Our main characters are Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and Leia Organa. Luke Skywalker is like a, you know, he works on a moisture farm on a planet called Tatooine. Anyway, he's swept up by adventure when these droids come along that are owned by, well, they're not owned by Leia Organa, but they're working for her. Anyway, it's minutia. Anyway, he gets swept up in this whole adventure of this rebellion working against the Galactic Empire.
Totally not Nazis, by the way.
Classic hero's journey is what Luke Skywalker goes on.
But the Empire did nothing wrong.
They did everything wrong.
One of the leaders of this rebellion is Princess Leia Organa of Alderaan. She was a princess. Her home planet gets destroyed. She's leading the rebellion against the Empire. Does a bunch of cool stuff. And then we got Han Solo. He is a smuggler. He also gets wrapped up in this thanks to Luke and Obi-Wan Kenobi, who's an old space wizard. He's in it for himself. He wants the money, but he becomes friends with everybody and he realizes, you know, maybe love and friendship are more important than money. You know, and he becomes a hero.
Han Solo, to be clear. For a second, it sounded like you were still on Obi-Wan. I was like, that's not Obi-Wan at all.
No, that's Han Solo. Obi-Wan I just mentioned. He's a space wizard.
Can you imagine if Obi-Wan was more like Han Solo? That'd be hilarious.
And then we got our big bad boy, BBB for short. We got Darth Vader. Darth Vader is a Sith Lord. Sith is like an evil space wizard.
Super evil.
He's one of the main guys in the Empire.
The primary antagonist.
Some would call him that. That's true. Anyway, as the story goes, they stop the Empire and save the day. There's some twists and some turns. Turns out Darth Vader was Luke's father the whole time.
Whoa.
And also Luke and Leia are...
They were siblings the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
But only Luke has the Force. What's up with that?
All right. That's untrue. And we're not talking
about
that.
That's true in the first part.
No. What?
No.
When the fuck do you find out she has Force powers until the newest fucking shit, dude?
You find out she has Force powers in Return of the Jedi.
No, in Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, no, in Empire. That's true. Okay, but we don't know that it's Leia in Empire Strikes Back. Because Obi-Wan's like, that boy is our last hope. And Yoda's like, no, there is another.
No, we know it's her because she hears him through space, through the Force. When he's in trouble.
God.
Yes! Sorry! That's bro.
That's bullshit.
No. Keenan's right. That does happen. Okay, but then we find out that Leia is Luke's sister. She's the other. There is another.
She still never gets trained, okay? That was the shitty part.
Okay, she's force sensitive as well. And yeah, she doesn't get trained because she didn't know and she didn't go get training. Okay?
But apparently Yoda knew.
Hold up. Yeah, because Yoda's fucking the best.
Yoda should have fucking trained her.
He's going to go leave Dagobah, get caught by the Empire and die trying to train Princess Leia?
Yeah.
Yeah, smart move, Yoda.
Yoda wouldn't get caught.
Yes, he would. Why do you think he was hiding on Dagobah?
You do or do not. There's no try.
Yeah, he did not.
He would have, though. If he tried, he would have done.
No. Listen, why do you think Yoda was hiding on Dagobah?
He's a bitch.
No, because Dagobah is strong with the dark side of the Force, and it cancels out all his sweet, sweet Force energy that he projects so that the Empire can't find him.
That is true. That is why he moved there.
All right, that doesn't count for my summary. Okay, it does. It counts.
Sorry, listeners. You just got a lot of information thrown at you.
So that's the original trilogy brief overview. Prequel trilogy brief overview is the story of how Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader. He's a young boy living on Tatooine. What a coincidence. He gets found by Obi-Wan Kenobi and Master Qui-Gon Jinn. They take him back to the Jedi Academy. They train him up. He gets all turned to the dark side by the man who will eventually become the Emperor. And then he turns on his friends, kills a bunch of Jedi and shit. And then he fights Obi-Wan in a cool lava fight scene. They're not like they're not made of lava. They fight over some lava.
Yeah, they don't fight with lava either.
Yeah. It sounded like to the uninitiated, it sounded like they were throwing lava at each other. That's just impractical.
He gets caught on fire from some lava, though.
Well, that doesn't count as being on lava.
He does. Obi-Wan Kenobi cuts off three of his four limbs, and then he gets...
Conveniently leaves the robot one.
He gets lit on fire. Well, only his hand... Only, like his forearm and hand were robotic, so he's still got, like, you know...
But he left that one, just like...
Yeah, just that's... Well, because he was...
Like, haha, bitch, now you have to have all robotic limbs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in his defense, if he had chopped off the robot hand too, that would have still been replaced with another robot hand.
It still would have been a robot hand, that's true.
I understand that, but if he had left...
It's not like a pattern you have to switch back and forth every time.
If he left one organic hand and cut off the other three, rather than cutting all three organic ones and leaving the robot one, is what I'm talking about.
Well, because Anakin was wielding his lightsaber in his organic hand.
Yeah.
And you're gonna cut that hand off. That's the danger hand, you know?
I understand that. And then you get the higher ground and then it's fucking over. But
well, it was already over. Like, that was... Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So I like Star Wars a lot. Big fan. No, I do. I did say that with, like, a sarcastic tone, so it sounds like I'm not a big fan, but I am. Star Wars is probably my favorite nerdy, geeky type of thing.
Oh, gee, I wonder why you brought it to this podcast about nerdy, geeky shit.
Yeah, it's a weird choice by me. I'm a big fan of Star Wars. You know, for the original trilogy, it's a classic example of the hero's journey, which is like a storytelling convention. You have all probably heard of it. You're smart people. Good job, listeners. And it does it so well. And because it kind of follows this like outline, it leaves a lot of room to explore character and theme, because we kind of have this like classic plot that everyone understands, so you don't really need to describe it that much in the film. So we get a deep look at a lot of these characters and their relationships with each other, and the big theme of the original trilogy, well, one of them is family, and this carries over into a lot of the other Star Wars stuff. It's about the family that you choose, that being Luke, Han, and Leia choosing each other, Han and Chewbacca choosing each other, the Rebels all choosing each other. And then it's also about, like, your blood family. Like, you know, Luke's father is Darth Vader, and they're at odds. They're fighting each other because Darth Vader's evil. And Luke and Leia have this kind of connection, and then they find out it's because they're siblings. And it's Luke's connection to his friends, who are family to him, that he ends up being able to stand up to Darth Vader and the Emperor. And then it's through his connection to his father that Darth Vader's able to turn from the dark side back to the light and bring balance to the Force by killing the Emperor. And it's there's a lot of like powerful stuff in the movies because it's got these somewhat simple overarching messages. And that's something that I really like about it. I also think that the music is fantastic. We all know this. The visual effects are great. The ones that they did back in the 70s and 80s were amazing at the time, and they still hold up pretty well. You know, I'm not going to say that they're the best visual effects that have ever been done, but they still look good if you watch the movie today, which I think is a testament to, you know, how much care was put into the making of the films. The prequels are not as beloved as the original trilogy. Positive things I could say about the prequels. Okay, that was a little bit of a joke, me being silent, but Ewan McGregor turns in a great performance as Obi-Wan Kenobi. The music is still great. The visual effects are
less so.
In some places great, in some places they were a little ambitious, and so I don't think it holds up.
That's a nice way of saying it.
In some areas. And one thing that's phenomenal about the prequels, and if you ever end up watching them again, listeners, pay attention to this, the sound design in the prequels by Ben Burtt, great guy. I never met him.
Great guy. Called Betty.
Is phenomenal. There are some good things about the prequels. I think the overarching story of the prequels is an enjoyable one. I think the execution wasn't really there.
I don't like sand.
But there are positive things about them, though they're not nearly on the level of the original trilogy. But yeah, I like Star Wars. Star Wars is great. And I'm going to toss it over to Keenan right now. Keenan, what'd you bring us today?
Hey, I really just want to point out, like, the comics and some of the TV shows, in particular Star Wars, The Clone Wars. And I think they're part of the big reason why I like Star Wars so much. Mainly because what Star Wars has done that not a lot of series really get a chance to do as well is have such a great expanded universe.
True.
And one of the reasons why I like their comics and their shows so much is because I like anything that adds to this such a rich world. Like, for example, one of the first comics that Marvel created when... Because Disney bought Marvel, and then Disney bought Star Wars, or they bought Star Wars and they bought Marvel. Because originally the comics were produced by Dark Horse, but then that was all made Legends, which are canon, but not really canon. They did some weird stuff to, you know, justify it. But anyway.
Legends is not in the canon.
Yeah, but like they're also not acknowledging that it isn't its own canon.
Well, what they did was they were like, this stuff isn't canon, but we might pull from some of these stories for the canon works.
Might. They will. They'll just cherry pick ideas. Anyway.
Yeah. But Keenan, before you get into specifics, do you want to give us like a broad overview of the two things you're talking about today?
Yeah, well, one, the Clone Wars TV show is set in between Episode 2 and Episode 3. In Episode 2, the Clone Wars start. The Clone Wars is a conflict set between the Galactic Republic, which are the sort of good guys. They're supported by the Jedi, which are, you know, what we think of as the good guys, you know, the light side of the Force. And then they're fighting against the Confederacy of Independent Systems, which are the bad guys. They're like businesses who don't want to be ruled by this governing body that is the Republic anymore. And they are secretly backed, as we find out later, by the Sith, the evil space wizards, as we put it, who use the dark side, which is the Force, but through pain and anger and maleficent and selfish feelings. And the thing is, it's called the Clone Wars because the Galactic Republic commissions the Grand Army from a bunch of cloners, and they use clones to fight. And the CSI, the Confederacy, uses droids to fight.
Roger, roger.
Yeah, and it takes place on multiple worlds, and the show in particular follows many characters. It's actually an anthology series, so sometimes they'll be following, you know, Jedi Master Yoda, other times it's Anakin and Obi-Wan, sometimes it's just Anakin, sometimes it's just his apprentice, Ahsoka Tano, who is a young Jedi Padawan.
Glad to meet you. I'm Ahsoka.
She's great.
And sometimes it actually just follows the clones themselves on their different missions to different worlds, different campaigns trying to take over places. And the second thing I want to talk about is one comic in particular that I liked was Journey into Star Wars, The Force Awakens, Shattered Empire. It was released a little bit before or around the same time as The Force Awakens. And that's set right after Return of the Jedi, when Luke and Darth Vader defeat the Emperor, and just kind of talks about what happens afterwards, and is one of the things that was made to kind of bridge the gap. What I like about both of these is they just fill out this world, because in Star Wars, as you might expect from 7 movies that talk about a whole universe, a lot of things are referenced and a lot of things are talked about, but you don't necessarily see all of them, and a lot of these things talk about that. And I also like picking up anything that makes the world seem bigger, like I said. In Shattered Empire, it doesn't follow the main characters of the series. It doesn't follow the Skywalkers or, you know, Han Solo or stuff. There are characters in it, but they aren't the focus. It actually follows a pilot for the Rebellion that was there when they were fighting. And it kind of like details what she's doing with her life now that it's over, and that she was a big part. Like I said, the expanded universe, I think, is just the best part of Star Wars. There's so much to tell and allows so many artists and storytellers to come in and tell great stories within this world.
Cool.
Great job, Keenan.
Thanks, Prev.
All right, Keenan, that was fantastic. I love you a lot.
Oh,
you're the best.
Ah, right, yes, on. Best. All right. Best.
Hey,
best.
Looks like I got somebody else here. His name is Patrick Brem. Peprem, what do you got for me today, man?
Peprem.
Oh, I got something good for you, homie. I'm talking about the newest series of movies out there, which actually do not go in order because they came out kind of wonky. So the first movie that came out recently was The Force Awakens, which follows a brand new set of main characters. One is a girl named Rey. We find her on a salvage planet named Jakku. On this planet, due to a space battle, some new people crash onto the planet, and she finds one of them. His name is Finn. He was a member of the army for the new Empire. What the fuck are they called? The First Order?
The First Order.
Yeah. So he escapes with this other guy, Poe Dameron, who is a resistance fighter, and they start to go off on their own adventure of the hero's journey to try to stop the First Order and save the day. So we see yet again the Death Star concept come back in Starkiller Base, which I thought was kind of lame that they keep doing the same thing.
Explain what the Death Star concept is.
The Death Star is supposed to be this planet destroyer thing that the Empire used to destroy Leia's homeworld in A New Hope, right?
Yeah, it was in the New Hope.
Yeah. So yeah. It's this giant base that looks like it's a moon, but it actually shoots this giant freaking laser beam out of its face and destroys worlds.
That's no moon. It's a space station.
So, for some reason, which we find out in Rogue One, actually, the Death Star was designed by someone who doesn't even fucking like the Empire. So he built in this kind of like failsafe, I guess, to help the rebels destroy it more easily, which was just like a fucking heating vent that Luke was able to shoot with a torpedo and just blow up the entire base.
Well, I mean, it wasn't just a heating vent.
So the issue with Starkiller Base is they did basically the same fucking thing. They just had a nice little overheating ability to destroy the whole thing, which was lame. So they just keep using the same trope, which is my favorite. But yes, they do the same fucking thing.
I mean, no one got angry when the fucking... I'm sorry, but this always really annoyed me. No one got angry when the next two movies were also about another Death Star. But when Force Awakens...
I got angry. That's what I'm fucking talking about right now. Is that I'm angry about it. When
Force Awakens make it, everyone gets all, angry.
Wait a minute. Keaton, are you insinuating that The Empire Strikes Back is about the Death Star?
Yes.
It's not. But okay.
There's not a single Death Star in The Empire Strikes Back.
They talk about it, bruv.
Are you saying no one would mention the Death Star after they blew it up? Like, they'd blow it up and then everyone would just forget about it?
No, they mention it. They're building another one. That's the whole point of Return of the Jedi. But, like, no one got angry about that. That's all I'm saying. And I also just, I don't think it's, like, that bad of a trope. But it's just, that's just me.
Are you done? Can I fucking talk now?
I mean, I was done, but now that you're asking me.
All right, we're not going to argue about this. Go ahead, Pat. But Keenan's wrong.
So, after we deal with that bullshit trope for the second time, we have to then follow the further development of Rey in the third movie that came out, which was the most recent one, The Last Jedi.
Star Wars Episode 8.
Yeah. That movie had quite a few moments in it that I thought were pretty nice. We see a lot of development from Kylo Ren, which is the new kind of like villain that they try to follow. Kylo Ren, there's a lot of tension because he's kind of torn between doing what he feels is best for himself in like following how to get all the power and the glory like Darth Vader, and also torn between Rey because they have this connection. He wants to have her join him, but he still wants to be evil and she does not. So there's this nice tension. We also find out that Luke, when he was done with his shit from the original six movies, goes on and starts to train new Jedi, and he gets worried about Kylo Ren. We find this out in the newest movie, and contemplates actually murdering him in his sleep. Second guesses it, but when Kylo wakes up, all he sees is Luke standing over him with the lightsaber, and freaks out, so he starts to like fight back. He goes on this murderous rampage and kills a lot of the Jedi and takes anybody left over with him to start joining the dark side. That's basically what's happening in those two movies, which follow the same storyline. In the middle of those came Rogue One, which is honestly one of my favorite installments because it doesn't really follow any Force user per se. It's a little more nitty-gritty. This movie takes place in between the two original trilogies, so in between Episode 3 and Episode 4. We find out that whole backstory about them building in plans in the Death Star to allow the rebels to easily destroy it. That was done by Mads Mikkelsen's character. He's the grand architect for this Death Star, and his daughter ends up being the one to grab the plans and save the day for the rebels. It's really cool because, as I said, there's not really a focus on people who are using the Force, even though we have that blind dude and his friend.
Cheered Imwe and Baze Malpas.
Yeah, who just fuck shit up with a stick against the most useless stormtroopers of all time. But it also has my favorite character in it, which is K2SO. I love the droids.
He's a good boy.
Are you talking about me?
K2SO is voiced by Alan Tudyk, and that's one of the main reasons why I love him, is just because I love Alan Tudyk. But he just has this nice sassy undertone, and he's just like not afraid to say it how it is. So I thought that was a nice change of pace because back in the day, it seemed like they were trying to be funny, but not really like sassy and not snarky because a lot of kids were watching this. And now it seems like they're really getting into the nitty gritty, making it for all of the old fans who have now grown up like myself. And I like the way they're headed in the darker direction. It's nice.
Yeah. All right. Is that the end of the Pat portion of the podcast?
That is the end of the Pat.
Pat yourself on the back.
All right, well, we've finished up summarizing our topics today, so let's move on to the discussion portion of the podcast. For our listeners, we're going to have a little discussion. All right, go. No. I'm just kidding. I'm gonna do my job. Okay, so I really wanted our discussion today to focus on the things that we personally like about Star Wars and the reasons we like them. And I'm sure that people listening will have their own things. And, you know, send us some tweets about it. And then don't send us tweets about the stuff you don't like, because I probably also don't like that stuff. It's okay. We have a mutual understanding, so we're good. Don't need to talk about it. All right, I thought that was a good joke. It's a bad joke. Okay.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. I don't know, man.
Jeff chuckled, but he's silent.
Funny.
You gotta try real hard with me.
I wanted to start off talking about, Kenan, what drew you to the Clone Wars series? And then after you answer that one, the comics.
Like I said, whatever creates the world. I really like the Clone Wars. It's my favorite setting out of like the three major, well, I guess now four major time periods.
Okay.
Which are Old Republic, Clone Wars, the Empire, and then, you know, what is now the newest series. And to me, the Clone Wars is so cool because, one, you get like the action of like being, you know, a sci-fi war.
Oh, definitely.
But also, it's really cool after having seen Star Wars Episode 3, knowing that everything, the entire Clone Wars was orchestrated by Darth Sidious just so he could become the Emperor, just so he could maneuver himself to a position of power to create the Empire and get rid of the Jedi. It's really cool in that aspect because there's so much, in my opinion, more intrigue and more behind the scenes, you know, sneaky machinations going on.
Yeah.
It also allowed them to do a lot of fun stuff and go to a lot of fun places that you couldn't really necessarily do in the movies.
Yeah, and Kenan, I know I asked you a two-parter question, but I'm going to cut you off after part one because...
That's fine.
You said something really interesting in there about how watching the Clone Wars after we have episode 3, we know where it's going with Palpatine and his plans to become the Emperor. And I feel like a lot of Star Wars is that way. Like, we have the original trilogy, which follows, like, the hero's journey story. So anyone who knew that kind of had a bit of an idea of where the story was going. But then we have the prequels, which take place before the original trilogy. So we know where the story's going. We know that Anakin, this kid that we're following, ends up becoming Darth Vader. And then we have even Rogue One, which is in itself kind of a prequel, because we know it ends up leading into episode 4, the Rebels have the Death Star plans.
Hell yeah.
But then that puts some of the stuff Pat brought in an interesting position, where it's brand new and we don't know where it's going. Specifically episodes 7 and 8. Obviously now we know where 7's going, because 8 came out. But, Pat, do you want to talk, I know that's a bit of a nebulous kind of topic, but do you want to talk a bit about that, about how we don't know where it's going, because it's a brand new story, and maybe a bit of how you feel about that, and then it's definitely affected the Star Wars fan community in certain ways, and we can all talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so, obviously, since we were born way after the original trilogy came out, we could just watch them all in a row and we knew what was happening. It wrapped up pretty nicely at the end. But with the new one, like you said, it's kind of ambiguous. And I don't really know a lot of the extended universe to know any fan theories about where it's going. However, in my opinion, they do leave some little clues as to where I think they're going to move on with it. There's this one scene, or I guess it's like a couple scenes in the newest one where Finn and, what's her name?
Rose,
yeah, are running through this casino trying to escape after they meet this dude in the, like, prison because they were captured by these guards. They escape. I don't know his name either, but he's played by Benicio del Toro, I think.
Yeah. DJ. His name was DJ.
They escape and they run through the stables and they pass these kids who are just like playing with these little droid toys, and it kind of comes out that one of the kids has a little force sensitivity later on because he reaches for a broom to start sweeping and it just like kind of comes into his hand. So I think it's a nice little hint that they're going to start kind of reviving the Jedi in these young kids and having them be trained by maybe the spirit of Yoda and Luke, who knows, because Luke like kind of disappears at the end. Maybe Rey is enough of a force user that she'll be able to do it herself. Who knows? But I think that's where they're headed. They're headed for the revival of the Jedi. But we're going to have to wait a while because the next movie that comes out is going to be the Han Solo movie, which is going to be sick.
Hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Pat. And then the part two of that, all my questions are two-parters, was the fact that it's all, like, brand new and we don't know where it's going, I think it's had an effect on Star Wars fans as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I personally find it very exciting. I like being a part of something as it's happening. And I feel like you don't really, like, maybe notice a lot of times until it's over and it's already happened. But, like,
yeah,
right now we're a part of this story as it's happening, and we can all have, like, our ideas and opinions and theories about who people are or where things are going. It's super exciting to engage with other people that are fans of something in this kind of, like, theorizing way. And this happens, I think, with a lot of shows and movies, but it's something that people our age haven't been able to experience with Star Wars until now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know,
it's all been out.
We were really young when the prequels came out,
yeah,
and the original trilogy was already out when we were born. So I really enjoy that. And I guess I just want to get your guys' perspective on some of that stuff. Do you like that? Do you not participate in it?
So, I mean, I do like the theorizing, obviously, because, like, that's what we're doing right now. But I think there's also this other side to the public reaction where it's kind of shitty, because I remember after The Force Awakens and now after The Last Jedi, there was this huge backlash of people saying that, like, Rey shouldn't be as strong as she is because she hasn't trained as much. She hasn't been as actively, like, trying to hone her skills as Luke was, per se. So there's no reason why she should be able to go against Luke in that fight. And I think it's, like, it's pretty horse shit that, like, you don't know what's happening outside of what they show us in the movie. Like, they don't really make a huge point of telling us which days are happening, so who knows how much time she actually spent training, first of all. Who knows what her power level is just inherently. Like, obviously some people have to be better than others. And I know everybody was pointing to the fact that they were saying that Luke was the godliest of godly when it came out.
Well, Anakin was the chosen one.
Yeah, Anakin was the chosen one, and then Luke was the most powerful one because he beat Anakin. So
Anakin was an old man who was holding back, though.
That is true. But my point is that, like, you can't just assume that because someone used to be the greatest that, like, the newest greatest isn't just going to happen. For example, I'm going to use a hockey reference right now. Wayne Gretzky is arguably the best player of all time because he has the most points. However, Sidney Crosby is, like, killing it right now. It's a different, more aggressive game now, and Sidney Crosby doesn't have as many points. But Sidney Crosby is arguably the better player.
I think, Pat, that was really valuable because a higher percentage of our listeners watch hockey than have seen Star Wars.
I'm just saying. Okay, let's use a fucking basketball reference. Like,
that'll
Larry Bird or one of those motherfuckers. Like, LeBron James is now the newest greatest of all time. Like, there's always going to be someone better than before. And right now it's Ray.
Well, I would say, Pat, I do agree with you, but I also disagree in the fact that I understand their feeling, because at least in your hockey, you know, you see people score points.
Yeah.
You see them start racking them up, right?
Well, you see people score points in the fact that they win fights, like lightsaber duels.
Yeah, but all of a sudden Rey just shows up. But, like, we already established that Rey knew how to fight. That was my, like, thing.
Yeah.
You don't survive as a scavenger on a fucked up world and not learn how to defend yourself. So don't worry, like, I'm with you, but I can also understand the concept of being annoyed by that. To answer your question from my perspective, Eddie.
Yeah.
I like talking about theories to a point. I'm not the biggest fan of the community all the time. But at some point, I don't like talking about theories. I like talking about it when you have meat to the argument.
Oh, you love that meat.
I don't like people who just kind of throw out random fan theories. Like, this person's left-handed. Oh. You know, I'm like, all right, that doesn't mean anything, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like hearing them after the fact. Like, when they've been, like, just
proven
put down, like, it's not a thing. Like, for a while, everyone was like, yo, what if Jar Jar Binks was really a Sith Lord, right? And for a while, this was a really big thing. And then finally, he showed up in a canon side story where he's, like, a weird beggar living in the streets of fucking Naboo, I think.
Yeah, that's fucked up that they're going to do that to my boy Jar Jar, the best Star Wars character.
Well, when he's the one that hands over all the power to Palpatine that allows him to become Emperor, you're going to put him up,
you're Palpatine, you put him up in, like, the best penthouse on fucking the Death Star.
So, like, the thing is, people are still on about that sometimes, and it's like, well, sorry, he's not anyone anymore. You can't make that argument anymore. So I really hate when people, like, kind of cling to that.
I don't know that anyone ever seriously thought Jar Jar was a Sith Lord. I think it was all a big meme.
Nah, there was like some serious like structure.
Yeah. No, people put work into the theory. I'm just pretty sure it was all a joke.
I hope it was a joke.
I mean, if it was a joke, some people
we're gonna
did
move
not
on to
it.
A whole brand new question though, because this one has not gone well. This was a bad question.
All right, nerd.
I thought it was a good question. You just didn't like my answer. Yeah, it was a bad answer.
No. Listen, Pat. It's not that I didn't like your answer. Okay, it's that God didn't like your answer. I'm loving these silent laughs from Jeff.
What's a God to a non-believer?
I don't know the next line of that song.
It's a Kanye reference, motherfucker.
I know the song, I just don't know the next line.
Oh, so people who listen to this podcast don't watch hockey and don't listen to Kanye?
What's a God to a king? What's a king to a God? What's a God to a non-believer? Who don't believe in anything? Fuck you. Right. Anyway... All right, guys, great answer to whatever the last question was. Don't know if that one's going to make the cut. I still think I'm funny.
Haha.
I think hockey references deserve to be made in this podcast, okay? You can't just assume nerds don't watch sports.
No. That's not what I said, Pat. You didn't listen to me. You just wanted to argue with everybody. All right? Listen, I didn't say you can't make hockey references, and I didn't say nerds don't watch sports. I said you made an analogy to hockey to explain a point that you were making about Star Wars.
Yeah.
As if that was going to clue people in. Like, they were like, I don't get this whole Star Wars thing. Oh, now I get it.
It's the same concept. Like, there was a goat, and there's a new goat, okay? Like...
Well, greatest of all time, there can only be one.
True.
Yeah, there used to be the goat, and then it became there. Now the new goat is the goat, and the old goat is just some dude who was really good at the time. He's not the goat anymore.
Wait, what was the question?
There's no question anymore. We're just arguing again.
All right, guys. So now I did want to throw it back to Keenan. Get a little bit more into this comic stuff, because that is one of the things that I think does the most work to expand the universe of the Star Wars franchise. The movies and the TV show, too, they tell us these stories, but it's ones of, like, characters that we know or are, like, already becoming, like, intimate with, and they're kind of, you know, following certain structures to tell stories, I think, succinctly, whereas the comics, I think, have a little bit more openness to expand the universe and take us to like new weird planets and show us like different creatures and different kinds of stories. So can you talk a little bit about that, my boy?
Yeah, it kind of lets us talk about, in some ways, lesser stories. They're not all the time like the universe-shattering stories of the movies. They're sometimes like the more smaller stories of like other people in like the Rebellion or other people in the Empire or whatever. And it's kind of cool, though, because it lets you just kind of get an insight into the world more. It also allows for more characterizations of characters you already like the Darth Vader comics. Like, I think one of the first Darth Vader comics that Marvel made was all about how Darth Vader had to get a new lightsaber. And to do that, he had to find a Jedi and bleed its crystal. Basically, just kill a Jedi and take his crystal and, you know, do some fucked up Sith Lord shit to it.
Yeah, boy.
Which was, I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of that because I preferred the way they did it in Legends, but, you know.
Me too.
For those unfamiliar, in Legends, which is the former canon, Sith Lords just had red lightsabers and only red lightsabers because they were synthetic crystals, because they would just make them instead of doing what the Jedi did, which was like go and dig them up and find the one that speaks to you. And that's how they had all these different colors, green and blue being the two most prevalent ones. And like symbolically, I get it.
No, it was super cool symbolically that they had synthetic ones because that was very
cheap and easy. Like, you know, using your anger is.
Which is exactly what the dark side is, yeah.
Yeah, so I like that. I get this one's like evil, like, ha ha ha, you have to kill someone. You know, I can get it. I just...
Yeah.
It's in my opinion, a bit more heavy-handed. Like I said, or it allows for more characterization. Like, a lot of people fault the prequel for the characterization of many characters. I still think that at least half of Attack of the Clones was a really good movie because the Obi-Wan side plot had intrigue and deception and cool characters and everything, but I admit that sometimes the writing just wasn't there. And what the comics allow it to do is like actually like kind of build on that and make good characterization. You don't get it in the movies necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, there was a Anakin and Obi-Wan story arc, and it depicts this time in Anakin's life when he was an apprentice and he considered quitting the Jedi Order.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah, he like, you know, they crash land on this planet and it's supposed to be his last mission. And then Obi-Wan tries to do stuff to, like, convince him, and he does a good job. But also, like, you see the start of the relationship between Anakin and Palpatine, and kind of foreshadowing what Palpatine's going to become,
mm-hmm.
and Anakin by an extension. Like, he, like, starts to be like, oh, I don't want to do this. So what he does is, like, oh, he's like, oh, hey, Anakin, we're friends. You want to come down? I'll talk to the boy. So he's like, hey, why don't you follow me on one of my visits to the lower levels of Coruscant? And Coruscant is, like, this huge metropolis city. And, like, they go down to the lower levels. And, like, he just, like, goes to this criminal bar and, like, messes with people. And, like, it's mainly so that way, like, Palpatine can learn how to blackmail people.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, oh, look, I use this to see how things really are. And to check on the corruption in the system. And, like, this is just him starting to put the idea into Anakin's head that the system that is in place is really corrupt. And that Palpatine is totally not corrupt and a totally great guy.
And I think that's one of the cool things about the Star Wars universe being so big. One of the big issues that fans have with Star Wars is Anakin, in that he's not handled super well in the prequels. He's not written super well. Hayden Christensen doesn't do a fantastic job portraying him. And it's, I think, an issue that a lot of fans have with it. But then things like the Clone Wars TV show and the comics really give them an opportunity to fix, or not even fix, but to course correct on some of the, like, character detail and world detail that maybe aren't fleshed out as much as they could or should be in the films. And actually, that, I think, brings us to another interesting crossover point between some of the stuff we're talking about, where I think that's something that they're also trying to do with the Star Wars anthology films, the Star Wars stories, which we only have one of right now, which is Rogue One, and we're getting the second one, Han Solo, or Solo, a Star Wars story, later this year. But Pat, do you want to talk about Rogue One a little bit and how that kind of fills in some of the gaps in the universe, or just expands it in a general way, and why that is maybe a positive or negative thing? I can't read your mind. I assume you think it's a positive thing since you like Rogue One.
I'd say it's pretty positive.
Yeah. I agree, but can you talk about that stuff a little bit?
So yeah, it fills in the gap of how the Rebels even got the Death Star plans in the first place, because nobody really knew. And that was something that we were all not, like, super curious about, because obviously, like, the Rebels probably had spies or something. But it was nice to see the story actually fully fleshed out.
Indeed.
In that we saw that even members of the fucking Empire, who were put in high positions of power, like Mads Mikkelsen's character, the lead architect on the Death Star, didn't agree with Death Star's message. Not the Death Star's message. The fucking Empire's message of creating this gigantic evil conglomerate of everybody in the galaxy. We also see this nice, incredible story of Jane Erso, Mads Mikkelsen's daughter.
In the story, not in real life. Yeah,
not in real life. Go on this actual endeavor because they get the plans, but how are they going to get the plans to the Rebels? So they have this gigantic battle.
It's super cool.
At one of the bases. My favorite part about Star Wars by far are the battles, which is why I kind of had some issues with the newest movie.
That
the battles were very lackluster.
It's a little action light.
Action light. I don't think there was a single instance of a lightsaber hitting a lightsaber.
It did not happen once in the film.
Oh, wow.
Which is a shame, because it's a Star Wars movie. It's the only movie in which that can happen.
Not to say that happened in Rogue One either, but Rogue One is different in the sense that it was not following the
exploits of the Jedi, yeah.
The Force users per se. Yeah, so it was nice to see this little, like, almost spy movie coming into play in the Star Wars universe.
Totally agree.
So yeah, it was very good. Very positive. Again, moving in the dark direction. Aging and maturing with its audience. It's a great move.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You were talking before about how there's been some split about The Last Jedi and some of the stuff that happens in that movie, but I think Rogue One, for the most part, I'm sure there were people that didn't like it because it's a thing that exists in the world, but I think a lot of people really enjoyed Rogue One, for those reasons that you're espousing, the darker tone, and it's not crazy dark, you know, it's not like a Batman movie, but it's a darker tone, mm-hmm. which I enjoyed, and I know a lot of people did, and I think that's something that gets explored in the Clone Wars series as well, and I don't know as much about the comics as Kenan does, but I think one of the things that makes us like that darker tone in Star Wars so much is that most of the time we do have like a lighter tone. So I think, and you guys give your opinions on this as well, please, because it's a discussion. I think if it was like that dark tone all the time, then maybe it wouldn't be as effective. But what do you guys think about that? Would you just like us to generally move in that direction, or do you like that it's just some of the stories are that way?
I like the more fantastical tone of the series because that's what's kind of fun about it. I mean, it is technically classified as like a space opera.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like that little over-the-top kind of old-school movie kind of feel. But I like that it also has deeper meaning to it. But I also like the darker tones because I liked Rogue One when it was like, yeah, this is a rebellion. This is a violent clash against an oppressive government.
People are dying. Like,
this is a serious thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like that because it was like, oh, yeah, because in the original series, you see the stormtroopers, and half the time they miss and they're a mile off. And here you see stormtroopers like, oh, that's right. There's a reason why the Empire just didn't trip and fall over. It took a rebellion to have to cause it.
Yeah.
And I like that because it brings, I don't know, a certain gravitas to the stakes of the series sometimes, I feel.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Pat, what about you?
I like the dark undertone because that's just what I'm into as a person. But I think that on a more broad scale, if it was majority of the time dark, it wouldn't be as popular, especially not with kids. So I want them to use the darkness in a little, like, a subtle way to keep us enthralled, like the older crew, but I also want them to keep it like hopeful and nice for the kiddos to get into it.
I totally agree. Guys, I think we have gone a little over time. And what is this? Oh, well, Jeff, maybe you should be on the fucking episode.
Maybe you should.
Everyone, Jeff wants me to say that he'd like if they found a balance between the dark and the light. Get it? Like the Force?
Yeah, we get it. You're just not funny,
get
Jeff.
Get it, guys? That's what Jeff wanted us to say.
Jesus, Jeff.
God, I hate that guy.
We're making fun of him. great discussion, everybody, especially me and Pat and Keenan, especially the three of us did a great job in there. But let's, let's move on to the next part of the podcast, guys. No, seriously, guys, thanks for the discussion. I hope that our audience enjoyed it. But now we're going to move on to the rating section. And again, this will be a little different than normal. We're just talking about Star Wars today, just Star Wars. I'm going to have you guys rate the Star Wars franchise on a scale of 1 to 5 Death Stars.
I was going to say midichlorians, but...
And then after you give your rating, which I assume will be quite brief, give an explanation of it, and then let me know, are you excited for the upcoming Han Solo movie and Episode 9? So why don't we start with Keenan? Keenan, what do you rate in Star Wars? How many Death Stars?
I give it 1 Star Killer Biss, because it's 10 times as big as any Death Star.
Oh my god.
So you're giving it 10 out of 5 Death Stars. Okay. Highest rating on the show. Thanks, Keenan.
Yeah, so basically 5 out of 5, just because...
But you said 10 out of 5.
I mean, let me... no, actually, it would be 10 times 5, so 50.
No.
10 times as big as any one Death Star. Come on, guys. I don't need to explain this concept.
Yeah, 10 times as big as any one, and you said it was 1 Star
Killer.
You
only gave it 1 Star Killer base. So that's you gave 10. It 10 out of 5.
Out of 5. Okay. Yeah, okay. Anyway, let me just put it this way. I had a history teacher.
This motherfucker isn't 10 times as big. Fuck off.
Yeah, it is. Look at it.
No, it's not. The Death Star was 160 kilometers in width, and the Starkiller base was 660, so it's approximately 5 times.
So I was right. Thank you.
So he gave it 5 out of 5, then.
No, you said it was 10 times!
So I was just as smart as any guy, alright? Guy?
Oh my god.
Anyway, he said, this professor I had, said that there are 3 great epics in the history of the world. One is the Epic of Gilgamesh. 2 is the Iliad / Odyssey, and 3 is Star Wars.
Lord of the Rings.
I agree.
Yep.
Was that a big revelation? I love Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't hear Star Wars grouped together with the Epic of Gilgamesh and the Odyssey.
I would. No, I mean...
No, but someone could have inferred at the start of your point that you were going to end with Star Wars, yeah. So it wasn't that exciting.
Wow. Can't you see the bloody future?
No, I have, on occasion, referred to Star Wars as modern-day Shakespeare. What Shakespeare was doing at the time was making stories that appealed to the masses, and that had these, like, crazy, magical, exciting elements, but at the core of them were simple, like, human themes and stories. So you could take these stories and themes and apply them to anything. So I think you're right, Keenan. Thank you for your rating. Are you looking forward to the upcoming Star Wars movies, Solo and Episode 9?
Yes. I like where the trilogy is going to be now. Solo seems interesting, and I'm also excited because they announced an Obi-Wan spinoff movie. Obi-Wan, my son, that sexy Ewan McGregor. Bye.
I love Ewan McGregor. He's a good boy. All right, Pat, how many Death Stars?
So I give this 4.5 Death Stars out of 5.
So like 4 and then the one from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, pretty much. The broken down piece of shit one.
It was fully operational.
It was still broken down and it looked like a piece of shit. It did not have the camouflage that it once did. Regardless, I give it that purely because I love Star Wars in general, but I do have some qualms every now and then. Obviously, it's not perfect, so I can't give it a 5 out of 5. I have to reserve that to the things that actually, like, unequivocally, I have no issues with, which does not happen often. So this is as high as I can give it and actually, like, believe myself. On the other note, I am ridiculously excited for the new Han Solo movie because I really want to see Donald Glover kill it as young Lando.
Oh, I love my boy Donald Glover. I'm so excited.
That's right. He's going to do that.
Fuck yeah.
All right. So thank you very much, Pat. And then I don't know if this counts because I was the host and I picked Star Wars, but I guess I'll rate it also. So I don't think anyone will be surprised. I'm going to give Star Wars a 5 out of 5. It is not perfect. There are issues in parts of it. Basically, some of the parts I don't like. But Star Wars, to me, is something that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. So as an overall thing, to me, Star Wars... What do you mean, how? It's an expression, Pat.
That just logically does not make sense.
What do you mean it doesn't logically make sense? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts?
Because how do you take the sum and make it bigger? It's like if I had like 4 apples and 3 oranges and put it together, I would have...
Apple pie! Bam!
You put oranges in apple pie?
No, what I'm saying is that it's greater than the sum of its parts.
Okay, ready? Here we go, Pat. If you have some bricks and some mortar, and you just toss them all onto a pile,
It's
not a wall. You have all the parts.
Yeah.
But if you build a wall out of them, you have a wall. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
But in that sense, you would need to add in labor, which you did not include in the first part.
Well, no, because Pat, there's labor into just tossing it all into a pile, isn't there?
But it's not the same labor. You're not putting in the same effort, which means you're adding more.
Oh, I'm sorry. So it's not the kind of labor that Pat would prefer. Got it. Wow, Pat.
No, I'm saying that the two inherently have different levels of labor. You're not using the actual sum of all the parts. You're increasing the sum when you put it into wall form.
I guess.
You're clearly wrong, Pat.
I'm not.
And you're being really pedantic right now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting here being like, let's do the podcast. Let's rate the thing. Let's use an expression that everybody knows and understands and that no one has an issue with.
I'm guaranteeing I'm not the only one with a problem with this phrase, okay? I guarantee.
I actually think you are.
And you're going to sit here and you're going to stop us. You're going to stop us dead in our tracks to say, you know what, Eddie, you're wrong because an expression that you used that everyone understands, I have a disagreement with. Pat, that's like if someone said to you, that'll happen when pigs fly, and then you were like, well, actually, pigs have been on airplanes and all blah, 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 blah.
Oh my god, no, that's not even remotely close to the
same. That's exactly what you just fucking did.
You're extrapolating and twisting my words.
That's exactly what you did, Pat.
No.
Listen, this is like in hockey when...
Yeah.
This is the Common Gigging Program. Ba, 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 ba.
I'm not a fucking moron, so I understand when someone says when pigs fly, they mean under their own power.
Oh, okay, because they didn't say that.
Yeah.
They didn't say that in the expression, Pat.
Oh my god. This is what's wrong with the world right now, is nobody knows how to, like, infer what people mean. They're just like,
that, are you fucking this. Kidding me, Pat? That's you what said you literally just did to this. Me. That's what you just no. did to me. You took the expression I made at literal face value.
Yeah.
Instead of
no, I did not.
At the you couldn't infer its meaning.
I can infer its meaning. I'm saying that the meaning you are inferring is stupid.
Are we down here, or like what's going on?
So guys, I think it was pretty obvious since I picked Star Wars as the topic and brought it here today, what my rating was going to be. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. I really like Star Wars. I love Star Wars, actually. There are some parts of it that I have problems with. Obviously, it's not perfect, but...
But you gave it a perfect score.
To me, the whole of Star Wars is greater than the sum of its parts. So when you put it all together and you just have this big package that's Star Wars... That package is perfect. That's exactly what I want out of a media franchise, and I'm glad that I have it. But now we move on to the next and most important part of the podcast.
Is there another one?
And this is where I give one of you the Gold Star Student Award. This reward given to the person who I think did the best job talking about what they love about Star Wars and why. Today... It's going to be the Golden Millennium Falcon.
Nice. Fuck yeah.
And, wow, we had, you know, I think there were some portions where things got a little heated today. You know, it was a hard-fought battle for that Gold Millennium Falcon. But I've got to hand out the award to one of you. I think that you both did a really good job talking about what you liked about Star Wars and why.
But
yes, there's got to be a but, because one of you has to win. That you didn't make a prediction, Keenan.
We all have buts.
Here's what I'm gonna say, Keenan. I think you did a good job telling us about the comics and the Clone Wars.
But
and which is interesting, because I love me some Star Wars. Not as much read up on the comics, so I appreciated hearing about some of that. And Pat, I have seen those movies you're talking about, but I think you did a really good job explaining some of the strengths of them.
Well, thank you.
It's really a tough call today, guys. You know, and even though...
What?
No, and. And even though he was, you know, being a right thorn in my side this whole recording, I'm giving the Gold Millennium Falcon to your boy, Pat Brim.
Hey, what's up?
But...
Shut the fuck up, Keaton. No, Pat, I think, like I said, I think you did a really good job explaining why you liked the stuff you liked. And why other people may have liked that stuff as well. So, you've won the award. I'm very proud of you.
You know, thank you.
But don't ever fucking question me again.
Yeah, I mean, I tried real hard and got so far, and in the end, it actually mattered, so thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Keenan, thank you for joining me as well. I'm sorry that you didn't win.
But...
Well, that about wraps it up. Thank you for listening to this very special Star Wars-themed episode of the Common Geeking Program. I was your host, Edward Ryan, and you can find me... Oh, man, I'm reading this now for the first time. You can find me on Twitter, at FakeEddieRyan. Today, I was joined by...
Patrick Brim. What's up? Don't follow my Twitter. It's stupid.
Don't at me.
Don't at me, bitch. You can follow my Insta if you want, though. It's Patty S. Official.
Patty S. Official. And...
And I'm Keenan Kodish, Twitter, awesome god on the earth.
Is that really your Twitter handle?
No.
Can you go secure that now before this episode comes out?
I'm sure nobody's going to secure it after this episode comes out either.
I'm sure some 12-year-old already has.
Pat, do you know how many people listen to the Comic Geeking Program?
7, and 5 of them are on the podcast?
There's dozens of them. Dozens!
Dozens of us!
Next week, guys, we're going to have an episode hosted by...
It's me, bitch. What's up?
Hosted by Patrick Brim.
It's Brittany, bitch.
Why don't you tell us what we're going to be talking about next episode?
We're going to be talking about shipping, as in, like, relationshipping characters in fictional things because you think they deserve to be together, and what kind of effect that has on fandoms and even the canon a little bit.
Is there an overarching piece of media that you're bringing, or...?
It's the Valentine's Day episode, so that's why we're doing it. We're just going to be talking about love, man, in general. Like, somebody said they were going to be talking about Steven Universe, and I don't remember what Laura said she was going to be talking about because it was something I'd never heard of, but it's going
to
be great.
Okay, so be sure to tune in for that episode next Friday, February 16th. In the meantime, feel free to follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Geeking Program. Any engagement, such as sharing a post, tagging us, or tweeting hashtag CGP, will enter you into a raffle where you get to pick the topic for a future episode. Which is very exciting. You can make us talk about Mortal Kombat Annihilation again.
Oh my god.
You can also review us on Apple Podcasts, which is a critical way for new people to find the show. And we also appreciate you just sharing us with friends. Also, we will be reading reviews on the air, so if you want me or one of my lesser podcast hosts to say some dumb words out loud, just put them in a review on the Apple Podcasts. Anyway, whatever you do, thank you for the support, and thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next week.
Peace!
This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Edward Ryan, joined by representatives Keenan Kodish and Pat Brem. This episode is sponsored by Hockey. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Jeff, and featuring original music by Colin Ketchin. Next week, we're going to be talking about shipping in TV shows and movies as a special Valentine's Day episode, and also the 50th episode of the Common Geeking Program! Going into the 50th episode, I'd just like to say again, thank you all so much for your continued support of the podcast, and as always, thank you for listening to this.
All right, guys, we did it. That was an episode. It happened.